Welcome to the Las Vegas Weekly Nightlife Podcast, Nocturnal Admissions. I'm Deanna Rilling. In studio today, we have three-fourths of Team Hangover to talk about what's going on for New Year's and all the big parties. So we've got Miss Hanya Woodman.
Hello.
And Jack Colton.
Hello.
And we have a cardboard cutout of Cindy. Yeah. Hello, Cindy. We love you wherever you are.
Cindy's AKA waving.
Miss Seamoon Reed. So I guess first off for you guys, what do you think are maybe some of the best party options to kick off 2010?
I think the obvious answer would be go to anything new that's opening up, but I'm not going to say that, having said that. That's too obvious. That's too easy. And most of the tickets for those things are already sold out. And at this point, I think I got an email yesterday. It's, would you like a $7,000 table or a $10,000 table is pretty much where they are now.
And which did you choose?
Yes. Neither. Oh. I went and bought a table. No. I think the place to be this New Year's Eve is anywhere that's offering good value. And I think there's a lot of that to be found, I think, in stark contrast to the clubs that are trying to get as much as they possibly can these last few minutes of the 2009 tax year. I think there's a lot of places that are really catering to people who maybe haven't saved up all year just for their New Year's because they were busy paying for things like food, healthcare, housing, that sort of thing. And I think a lot of places were very, very conscious of that this year.
Which is good because it gives you a range. I mean, you can go from, you know, the really expensive table with all the bottles and the big-breasted blondes surrounding your table, or you can go...
Where are you going to be?
Well, we'll reserve that for later. Or you can go for, you know, open bar for 3 hours for $100 plus some tip money. And, you know, still have money for 2010.
I think that that's something that I noticed when I was putting together the December 24th issue. We did a New Year's Eve roundup like we do every year. And having done it this year, I noticed how many places are trying to include as much as humanly possible for you. They're throwing in everything that they can. And usually, I mean, it's expected that you get a champagne toast. If I type champagne toast at midnight one more time, my fingers will fall off. But champagne toast at midnight and party favors, meaning, you know, hats, noisemakers, that sort of thing, not the other kind of party favors. That's expected. But the amount of open bars and heavy hors d'oeuvres and that sort of thing this year was encouraging. And I appreciated just seeing that effort on the club's part.
Have you noticed any kind of difference in the open bar? Is it all well, or is there any premium open bars? Or
yeah, some of them are doing premium. I saw a little bit of everything from, you know, like a $20 all-you-can-drink draft and well to included premium bar, or a lot of them were also sponsored by a particular champagne. Champagne bar is one way of having an open bar without involving the rest of the actual alcohol in the place. Just finding a great champagne sponsor to get behind the event. Mm-hmm. You can drink all the champagne you want all evening. And a lot of places won't even start charging you for your drinks until after midnight, just to get you there for the main portion of the evening.
Get you there, get you a little hammered.
Very hammered.
I noticed some of them, though, they have the open bar until like 11. So are they doing open bar till 11 and then pause for an hour, champagne toast at midnight, and then start paying for your drinks?
Yeah, I think every place, I think, has just a different strategy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, Bar A may decide, you know what, just give them whatever they want till midnight, and then that's when the real party starts anyway. By the time you get to the club, it's like you or 2 years ago, we walked in the door, and it was like, 3, 2, wait a minute. And then your night started. And, of course, we spent a fortune.
That's kind of the thing with open bars, too. Like, when it's so many people just slammed into the bar, I mean, you might get one or two drinks, so it kind of sounds better in print than it actually is.
Yeah. I mean, you're not even going to get there that early. I'm not planning on, you know, getting to the club until like 11 o'clock.
Plus, most of the locals don't even know how to show up before midnight, so maybe they're kind of counting on that as well.
Tonight's the night to break that habit.
Maybe do a countdown at 1 a.m. Yay. But so for you, where are you going to be for New Year's?
I'm going to start the evening with dinner at Ferrara's, right at the old All-American Bar and Grill location. And then just going to go straight across the street to the Hard Rock for Vanity and Body English. Don't touch that.
Colton's breaking things.
Sorry. I will be at Cat House hosting a site party there.
for your website.
Yes, yes. So we will have people from all over the country partying together. Some of us met, many of us haven't. Mm-hmm. It'll be a great time.
Cool.
Could be a love at first sight party.
It could be. You never know. You never know.
And then for me, I'm going to be doing as many parties as possible in as small of a area as possible. So I'm going to be covering all four parties at the Palms.
But you won't have to move your car.
Which is the big plan. Yeah. So trying to figure out the logistics on that. So over at the Palms for their spectacular. They've got Oakenfold at Rains, You Trip at Moon. They've got 80s cover band Heart Attack at Ghost Bar and the Maroon 5 after party at the Playboy Club. So going to be down there. But I mean, there's definitely a ton going on as far as nightlife.
I think also different this year than past years. There's so much going on for the rest of the weekend. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, someone did a New Year's Eve recreation on New Year's Day, and I thought that was so great. I didn't get a chance to cover it. I wanted to do it the next year, and then nobody did it.
Yeah.
This year, you've got New Year's recreations going on the 1st, the 2nd, and the 3rd. Recovery brunch is going on all weekend. Recovery after hours, which is kind of, you know, I don't know, against the point. But, yeah, I mean, they're really using the rest of the weekend. They're rolling it into the New Year's this year. I think probably because it's Thursday, it couldn't have been a better year mm-hmm. for it to have been situated on a Thursday.
Right? I kind of have a problem with some of the recreations in that they, you know, don't actually do it at midnight. You'll be at the club, you're looking at your watch, you're ready to go, and then it's 1 a.m. And then it's 1:30. And then at like 1:37, they arbitrarily decide it's midnight. And then all of a sudden the lights come on, they drop some snow, and it's all good.
Yeah, I think the whole idea behind that is obviously that they just don't want to pop it too early. And then everybody goes, okay, that's awesome. Good night. See you guys later. Yeah. I'm still hungover.
I still feel cheated. I don't know.
Yes, I know. It would be nice. It's the thought that counts, and the fact that they're doing that this year, and they're doing it all weekend long. Mm-hmm. It's encouraging to see it, and I hope that the weekend gets rolled into New Year's and that everybody basically just makes a lot of money and we don't see clubs closing.
Yeah, well, for example, instead of doing a recreation, though, I'm going to be at, on January 1st, the Spunday, the Day One party. They're doing that again this year, which is actually really cool because they've got 20 DJs there doing 2x4 sets. So I'll be there at that party. So instead of trying to just do New Year's over again, they're just like, hey, it's the first day of the year. Here's your first party. Let's go all out. So that's kind of something that I'm looking forward to. But as far as New Year's Eve partying and just partying in Vegas in general, what do you think that some things people kind of forget? And I know we're going to touch upon this in our issue that comes out on Thursday as far as club safety. But what are some of the key points that people just completely space from their minds? Colton?
Well, a big one's definitely to get to the Strip early. I mean, if you have to be anywhere that you actually have to be on Las Vegas Boulevard to get to, you got to be there at like 8 o'clock.
Where can people park? I mean, that's kind of a difficulty. If you're going to one of the clubs on the Strip, how do you plan for that?
I was talking to Metro the other day, and even to get to Luxor, I have to get there at like 7:30.
Yeah.
We couldn't even think of any like underground places I could park, so especially if you're going to like Mirage or Caesar's Palace or anything like that. I mean, just get there early and have dinner or something.
Okay.
That's probably what I would do too. I think people also forget on the other side, you know, have fun, drink by all means, but you have to get home.
Mm-hmm.
So plan for getting drunk, even if it doesn't happen, good for you. But, you know, if you're going to bring your car somewhere, think to yourself, is this somewhere I can leave that car?
Mm-hmm.
Don't
mm-hmm.
park in that precarious last little spot that's not really a spot and then think your car is going to be there the next day when you get a cab back there.
Right. Well, and the nice thing is that Cat Bus runs for free on New Year's. I spoke to the designated drivers people earlier. They are going to be doing the free drive you and your car home. And their number is 702-456-RIDE. However, since they are offering that service, they do need a lot of donations this year, and you can do that through their website at designateddriversinc.com. So that's another service. Or hitchhiking is an option, but it's probably not the safest. So
no.
I think on the list of cities for hitchhiking, and this would be pretty low on the list.
Yeah. But that's definitely one, is just trying to find parking. I mean, a lot of people sometimes will park off strip, like maybe at the Hard Rock. Well, that's probably not the best example, but and then either walk or cab it, so that works sometimes too. But
you're getting me worried now. I have to make a parking.
Yeah,
plan.
I was gonna.
All right,
what's your plan, honey?
Because
I'm still
go.
Working on mine.
I gotta
calls.
Go.
Yeah, I'm working on that one. What I did last year, I just I dropped my car off at a property early in the day last year, and then I had a friend drop me off that night, so my car was already there. So when I was done, my car was already there, and I could leave because there was definitely no parking. So that's always one option that works.
Now you're talking.
Well, and that's the advantage of being an off-strip place like the Palms or the Hard Rock, is you don't have to mess with the strip closing.
Exactly. Deanna, do you want to drop my car off outside the Hard Rock?
I knew you were going to ask me. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do over at the Palms.
I'll do yours if you'll do mine.
Do you think designated drivers would do a little preemptive strike?
Be like, can you just help me drop my car off? I'm not drunk, but
we'll do it in reverse. Drop me off, and then I'll go get drunk.
As far as 2009, what do you think were maybe some of the highlights of nightlife in 2009, or moments that stuck out the most for you, Hanya?
Positive or negative?
Well, yeah, just go for it.
I definitely, the thing that kind of dominated 2009 for me was the seriousness and then the resulting fallout of the situations between the county and the state and Opium Group. The coverage of that kind of consumed me for a good month, 2 months, and just finding myself in those proceedings every week and having to follow the stream of new information, because there was always new information. It was such a sad situation that was going on with that company, and it wasn't, and I'm not throwing them under the bus because it affected us all, and it's still affecting us all. In January, we reached the three-month mark of the no amateurs on poles rule, and
Isn't AVN coming up next?
After <It's> that, in the clubs, you know, it will have been 3 months that since the October 15th, mandate that no non-employees be on stripper poles, which seems like such a dumb little thing, but we have nightclubs that are basically designed around amateur strip poles that are designed to look like architectural features, but yeah, they're stripper poles. They're in every nightclub. It became a requisite thing when you built the club. So it'll be interesting to see what is life like in a world without amateur strippers, I guess. But it trickled down. It was the most impactful thing for me on that in that year.
As far as something that stuck out as a great either innovation or just a really good party or something you enjoyed the most?
I loved seeing the clubs, and it's continuing now, and Colton, you might agree, disagree. I loved seeing the clubs relax a little bit about the bottle requirements and let people get their money. By all means, get your money. Not going to stand in the way of that. But get your money by allowing people to buy a $2,000 bottle of water or a beer if that's what they want in order to get the real estate and, sit. Peer Management Group in 2009, towards the end of the year, they've made that change across the board. And that was a personal decision, policy decision for that company. Not necessarily a bad one. It's kind of like the New Year's thing. It's your deal. Get your money however you want to get there. It's a strategy, and it's an interesting one, and it's nice to see it. It's nice to see that they're not all still bottle per two, bottle per three.
So this is the table requirements instead of the bottle requirements?
Yeah, beverage minimum, basically. Reach your number however you want to reach your number. You can.
Which is good if you're really sick of vodka.
I just feel bad for the cocktail servers,
exactly.
Though. Oh, I can't. You'd have to pay me so much more if I was a cocktail server to run rounds of beers and Cosmos and gin and tonics back and forth instead of just plopping a bottle down and helping them finish it.
Which is kind of funny because, in most cities and in many businesses in Las Vegas, that's what a cocktail waitress does. So for ours in the nightclubs to actually...
We're spoiled.
Have to work a little harder to get the same amount of money.
It's hard, though. When the clubs are that full and it's, 2 o'clock in the morning... The last thing I want is a tray of Cosmos.
Oh, right.
It's going to end up on...
The most inconvenient drink ever.
It's going to end up on me. It's going to end up on the table. There goes my tip. It's just hard. Also, I think the return is so much greater on a bottle because they're jacking it up so much. It's, beverage is still better than food as far as cost, but the bottle is still better than the individual cocktail.
The bottle reigns king.
Yes, the bottle is king. So I can understand them being, other clubs being very loath to get rid of that, but it was an interesting thing to see them just sort of relax on that a little bit this year and try something different for a change.
How about you, Colton? What particularly stuck out in your mind in 2009 on the club scene?
You know, the whole year was pretty good. There's a lot of great parties. I don't maybe remember each one.
I was about to say.
Yeah, that's a challenging question.
Do you remember 2009?
One of the things that kind of stuck out for me, you know, I'm kind of a pale guy, and I've always been reserved at the pool parties. But this year, I just said the hell with it, and, you know, I went with it and had fun, and I was always the first one down the water slide and the last one crawling out of the pool.
Did you get a tan?
I don't tan. I burned a couple times, you know, took some embarrassing pictures. But, you know, overall, the whole year was pretty good. We ended 2008, obviously, with, and I don't know if you guys heard about it. There was an economic crash, kind of.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, I might have to Google it.
Yeah. So just to see 2009, that all the clubs, for the most part, have survived and, you know, they're still providing great entertainment was, I guess, a high point.
My gauge for the year is always this coming up issue, the New Year's issue. Am I putting more clubs on the grid, the club grid, in the weekly, or am I taking more clubs out?
What's the current count?
Better than last year. We put in 4 into the club grid and 2 into the, I mean, I've got a list of lounges. I'm getting to you. the lounges are tough to do. But in the grid, we put in 4 this New Year's. And last year we put in 1. It was excess. That was the New Year's baby. So whereas last night was a really long night with the grid, it was great to be fitting in these 4 new places and the 3 new large nightclubs and then Gold. And I don't know, just compared to last year, it was a great feeling. And we do have a few that are falling out in the following issue. On the 7th, we'll have Risque going away. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be kind of sad, but that's better. That 4 in, 1 out. I'll take that.
And they're larger, and everybody likes new shiny things, so definitely something.
I do like shiny things.
Yeah.
Guys, I like shiny things.
I think for me, this year seemed to be, and we've discussed it before, but it definitely was more of a buyer's market. So while the economy was kind of crumbling around us, on the other hand, we got a lot more free stuff. You know, there was open bars and just a lot of giveaways. Locals definitely reaped some benefits, comped admission. Angel Management Group, for example, like when they were doing God's Kitchen at Body, which will be moving to Vanity at Thursdays, they were doing a contest every week where you could win a table just by following them on Twitter. And, you know, there's other programs in town where they are kind of giving back a lot more. So for customers, it's kind of a bonus. Also kind of one of the high points for this year that I enjoyed was just like the really big blowout festivals over the holiday weekends. Just like really good lineup of entertainment. You know, the Palms had Love Festival and, you know, that was really fun. Over at Wet Republic, they were doing a lot of really cool stuff. So for me, from the music and DJ perspective, the talent this year just exceeded the previous year, and there's a lot more options if you're really into that.
Mm-hmm. In 2010, though, I'd really love to see a little more goodwill towards local mankind, because it is just very disheartening when you see locals who are your bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to tick off a local,
right?
Because, you know, if I'm a tourist, you pretty much have one shot with me. Yeah, I might come or I might not, but the potential to come back is more frequent for the local, and that is not someone I would want to screw over.
Right.
And
especially because they talk, and they talk to their friends
from out of
town.
They Twitter, and they Facebook. And this is just not the time to be taking locals for granted. And if anything, I'd be playing to that. I'd be playing to my bread and butter, and just get them in. We drink. We don't have as far
we'll
to
spend
go.
Money. We'll spend the money at the bar. It's just don't. Kind of at the door, we're not going to be able to drop as much money at the door, but we don't care about spending it at the bar. It's kind of weird, but
I don't
know.
That's
the pattern I seem to see.
I don't know too many locals who are willing to pay a cover. I just don't.
Yeah.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. It's insulting. It says it says that I'm no more important, you know, than the absolute, the guy who's the absolute last end of the line right now.
Yeah, but if you treat your locals well, I mean, you know they're going to get their long-lost cousin coming into town with 20 people for, you know, a bachelor party ready to drop a bunch of money, and they're going to go back to that club that treats them decently.
And those people will pay. Just don't make the local pay.
Yeah.
It's just too much. It's I don't know. That's something that's like very, very strong with
them. They're your best marketing tool in some instances. So that's, Colton, what do you think?
As far as the locals?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's a backbone of Vegas nightlife. Mm-hmm. One of the things I've liked to see in the past is, like you were saying, like the giveaways and everything, instead of spending $5,000 or $10,000 on a celebrity host, you're spending $5,000 or $10,000 on a giveaway. Actually kind of enjoyed one of those a couple of weeks ago. Got a free trip to Miami and New York.
Not Cuba?
I can't talk about Cuba. Yeah.
There were some people seriously worried about you.
Well, you know, you see a big bag of cigars behind me. Don't tell anybody. It didn't happen.
Yeah. So just to kind of wrap it up, what do you think you're looking forward to most in 2010, Hanya?
Way to put a girl on a spot. I guess I'm just looking forward to more and better. Sorry. I guess I'm just looking forward to more and better. More of the good, in other words. Keep doing all the things that are good. Keep, you know, if you're already not charging locals a cover, keep it that way. You know, don't mess with something that's working. And, you know, if the clubs are not, maybe they'll try that, and maybe that will work for them, and that'll be a positive thing. If something's not working, letting go of it and not wasting, you know, the club's time, the marketing people's time. Don't keep something going longer than it needs to. I sit there doing the hotspots and the grid every week, and sometimes I see things that maybe have run their course, you know, and it's not helping the club. If something's not working, I think 2010 is just a year for streamlined, easy, go for what works, let go of the things that don't. Ergonomic, like this chair.
Ergonomic nightlife.
Ergonomic nightlife, people. Get behind it.
Colton?
I don't know. Hanya kind of stole the good answer there.
Thank you. You were going to say ergonomic. Come on.
It was on the tip of my tongue.
Okay. Fine.
I mean, every New Year's Eve, every time there's a club that opens, you always see a lot of grand plans. And it's always raising the bar in customer service and the best lighting, the best sound, the coolest events on paper. And kind of what's always interesting, especially, you know, as we have four new clubs and, you know, maybe a couple others coming later, is to see what actually happens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, are these clubs actually even going to stay open? Are they going to be kind of lame? Are they going to be the hottest spots? You know, are they going to be douchey at the door to the locals and try to charge people? Or is it, you know, everybody going to get along in a symbiotic, ergonomic way?
What world do you live in?
I'm just saying, it's 2010.
Happy
it's a whole
Bear
new
Candy
decade.
Island.
Let's hold hands.
Let's all skip in through the door of the clubs.
I guess to answer your question, I look forward to seeing what happens and having this discussion in a year.
Sounds good. I guess just for me, the thing that I've really been interested in watching over the past year or two is just the way that kind of the culture has developed and kind of revived a bit. Because it dropped out for a while, and that's one of the things I focus on a lot. And it definitely seems like there's a core group of people that are very into not just going out and partying, but just going out there, supporting their local DJs, you know, showing up for their events. Even people that aren't even in the industry that are just fans, they're out there promoting just as much as employees sometimes.
I don't think it's so much that they went away. I think they're just getting respect that they're due, finally. I think the DJs are being seen as the reason for coming to the club, not just the guy who plays the theme song for the guy who was in that movie, that guy, what was his name?
Oh,
doesn't
yeah,
matter.
The
he's
guy
making,
with the hands and
yeah,
the feet.
Yeah, he's making $25,000 tonight. Yeah. No, they're the reason to come to the club. And the promotion, if it's weekly, or the one-off because it's a great DJ. Mm-hmm. And I think they're doing a really great job of involving Vegas in their tours, their first run tours. Mm-hmm. We're not, on the way home anymore. You know, we're a place that's an actual destination. So I think definitely the that culture that you just referred to is actually getting some respect that it deserves.
Definitely. I guess that's about it for me. As always, of course, if people want to know more about what's going on in nightlife, what events are coming up, they can check out LasVegasWeekly.com, pick up a copy of the magazine that's out on Thursdays. And I just want to thank you both for coming in. Thank you, Hania. Thank you, Colton.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And I will be talking to you guys after we're all hungover on January 1st.
Woo!
Thanks again.